Well, good morning and welcome here to everyone joining us online at Minnetonka and Woodside. It's so good to be with you today. My name is Zach Bush. I have the joy of serving as the campus pastor of our Bush Lake campus. And as you saw in the bumper video, this is a weighty topic. We're in the middle of a series called The Problem of Pain. Last week, Pastor Joel kicked us off with the difference between chronic pain and acute pain. And if you didn't have a chance to watch it, we invite you to go back. You can find that online. And next week, he will be addressing the topic of mental health and suicide. And so as we walk through this series, we want to make sure that one, you feel cared for, but two, you feel equipped to walk through these difficult topics. And so you can find on the back of your program some resources that we're providing. You can also see that online or stop by the info spot as well. We have classes and seminars, a ministry called Care Partners, which offer one-to-one care. And we will also have our prayer teams in all of our spaces that will provide prayer after the services. Well, December 2017 was a big month to conclude a big year for my wife, Cassie, and I. We had just finished up seminary. We received the call to go and start Westwood Bush Lake. And in November, I finished up the ordination process. And we were down in Texas celebrating Christmas with my family when all of a sudden, Cassie brought to me a little white stick. We were expecting. And after the initial shock set in, my mind began to race. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I am so futuristic. I live in 5 to 10 years out. And so my mind began to think, okay, this family of three is now going to be a family of four. And if it's a little boy with me and Craig, okay, we've got a full line for hockey. Let's go. And if it's a little girl, I'm going to be wrapped around her finger. It'll be tea time and daddy dates all the time. It'll be so much fun. And so we were excited, and we began to tell those in our close sphere of this good news. And turn the new year, going into January, we set up our first doctor's appointment, and the anticipation built. We were excited and a little bit nervous to go to that first appointment to see our little one on that sonogram screen. However, our hearts dropped whenever the technician said, "I'm sorry, I can't find a heartbeat. Your baby quit growing at 5 weeks." And all the questions began to set in for Cassie and I. Was it something that we did? Was it something we ate? Was it the stresses of life? And then we got to that one question: why God? Why God would this happen? And I know that as we journeyed through that difficulty, the research that we uncovered was that 1 in 3 women will miscarry at some point. And so I know that in a space this size, there are probably many of you here today who have experienced or are going through that right now. And when you find yourself in that situation, you too might say, "God, why?" Maybe you've received that phone call and the diagnosis for you or that loved one isn't promising. And what you thought was going to be years upon years now suddenly turns into just a few days left. Why, God? Or maybe you're sitting here now in this morning service and you're going through so much pain because of marital conflict or because of the things that a loved one said. Why, God? Well, as you can infer, that's really going to be the topic of our conversation this morning. Why, God? Why does this pain exist? And as we walk through this conversation, as we think about this idea of pain, we'll really have two key points. I want to give you a roadmap. We'll see, first of all, answering this question, why am I experiencing this pain? But secondly, what do you want me to do with this pain, God? So first the why, then the what. And so I invite you to pull out your teaching notes. We've got a lot of ground to cover this morning in a very limited time. But as we look at the why question, I want to frame it a little bit real quick. It's often the why question that leaves us unsettled intellectually, right? We're wrestling through this idea of why, God, would you allow this to happen? And a lot of times it's whenever we encounter pain that we ask that question, why? But I want us to remember that we are not just intellectual beings. Okay, we are beings with emotion as well. And a lot of times whenever we experience pain like this, it doesn't just tap into our intellect, but it taps into our emotions as well. And so if you're wrestling intellectually through that, continue to do that. This is a topic that Christian thinkers have thought through for centuries. There is an abundance of resources out there. But if you are right in the middle of pain, hear me when I say this. I'm not trying to excuse your pain with a simple intellectual answer. It's okay to sit in that pain. All right, but we come to our very first point. We're going to talk about 4 points for why, but the very first one is this. Pain may exist because of the fall. All right, pain that we're experiencing may exist because of the fall. When we open up Scripture, the first few pages of the Bible, we see Adam and Eve. God created them, and he gave them certain commands, and they disobeyed. And then all of a sudden, the fall happens, and that initiates sin to enter into the world. And then we see these results of the fall. God says this in Genesis 3. To the woman, he said, I will surely multiply your pain and childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. All right, when I look at this, we begin to see that the fall initiates sin into the world that we live in. Now, sin is oftentimes this word that I think is hijacked. We want to make it kind of this cute little word. You know, we go to a restaurant, for example, and we get that dessert that is sinfully delicious. But what I think we have to keep in mind is sin is far greater than that. You see, when God created the world, he created it to function in a certain way. It's supposed to function in harmony and on all cylinders. Yet when sin happens, it's the dissolving and the fracturing of how God intended the world to be. So the world we're living in today is not the world in which God had created to be, created it to function. And then we see it more specifically. He begins to talk about what the women will experience in terms of their pain. He says, you know what? Surely your pain will be multiplied in childbearing. Now think about this for a moment. Think about a painless labor. Okay, ladies are like, come on, amen to that, all right? That's how God had intended the world to be. But then he goes on and he says, you know what? Your desire will be contrary to your husband. And what God is saying is that in the marital system, there will be conflict and difficulty. And perhaps you're sitting here today in these seats because of a spouse or a loved one's words, actions, or behaviors had led to conflict and pain that you are just working through right now. That's all because of the fall. Then he turns to Adam and he says, you know what, Adam? I know you want to work and you've got this occupation, but guess what? As you work, thorns and thistles are going to spring up and the ground is cursed. It's going to rebel against you. And so for us and our work, you know, anytime we've tried to build our business or till the soil for fruit and vegetables, or anytime we've interacted with customers or coworkers or managers and there's been conflict and difficulty, that is all resulting in pain within our lives. And God is saying that is because of the fall. We see that within this world that we live in, that we are oftentimes in conflict and separated from God. We're in conflict with ourselves, and we are in conflict with one another, and that leads to pain. We experience depression and anxiety and thoughts of unworthiness. All of that is due to the fall. The world we live in is not how God intended it to be. In fact, I had a seminary professor who once said, we are fallen beings living in a fallen world under attack by Satan and his demons. The world we live in is not how God had intended it to be. Pain may exist because of the fall. That's our first subpoint. Now we come to our second subpoint, which is this. Pain may exist for faith growth. All right, pain may exist for faith growth. We pick up in James chapter 1. These are the words he says. He says, consider it a great joy, my brothers, and I'd add my sisters, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, but endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Okay, there are so many things that we can pull from this passage, but I think one of the first things that really jumped out to me this week as I was looking at this is James says, count it a pure joy, count it all joy when you face. And that's an important word because it's not like James is saying, count it joy if you face. He's saying, count it joy when you face. So we know that there will be pain. We know that there will be difficulties in this life. He says, when you face difficulties. Now that one little word, experience, is an important word because it carries this idea of experiencing or encountering or facing. And it carries this idea in the original language of someone walking alongside the road and then all of a sudden being encountered by robbers. Or it's like a ship that's sailing along and then suddenly it encounters a reef and brushes up against it. Pain does not necessarily call ahead to us, does it? It demands within us a spiritual readiness for it. Because then James says, you know what? Count it pure joy when you experience these trials because it will lead to a testing of your faith. And I was like, James, hold on, time out. A testing? Like, okay, if we were to take a poll here in this room and in Minnetonka and online, how many of you like tests, okay? If you raise your hand, I will pray for you now, okay? Let's take it even a step further. How many of you like pop quizzes? None of us do, all right? But that's what James is getting at. He's saying this is the testing. Now, testing, when I was through seminary, it was so stressful, and it demanded preparation of me. But as I was going through this pressure, it refined and it sharpened and it prepared within me an endurance and a perseverance. And as James continued on, he used these words that he says, so that you may be perfect and complete, mature, lacking in nothing. It's this idea of God taking virtue and stacking it upon one another and then really blending it down and mashing it down within our life and within our faith so that we may be growing virtue by virtue by virtue, much like a diamond is pressed in on every single side so that it might shine and shimmer, so are we within our faith. And as I think about this, I'm reminded of a C.S. Lewis quote when it comes to pain. He said this. He said, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. Pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. You might be going through pain right now. Because on the other side of your pain, God has got something in store for you. But before you can get there, before he can lead you to that point, he's got to refine and prune your character so that you can stand in that moment and he can do abundantly through you. Pain may exist for faith growth. That's our point. But now we come to this third one. And our third point is this. Pain may exist for the furthering of God's glory. Okay, pain may exist for the furthering of God's glory. Now, as I thought about this, there was a famous story that came out of John chapter 11, and it was the story of Lazarus. Now, Jesus loved Lazarus, and Jesus loved Mary and Martha. And Jesus caught word that Lazarus was sick and that he was dying, and it said Jesus wept. All right, one of the shortest verses in the entire New Testament. But then it said something interesting. Jesus waited 2 days. Why did he wait 2 days? Eventually, he went to Bethany, and he interacted with Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters. And this is what it says here. It says this, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Now here's the kicker. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, then believed in him. As I sat in this passage this week, I asked myself this question. What do you think Mary and Martha were feeling in that 4-day gap, that time between when Lazarus died and Jesus, the hope of the world, showed up? They were probably a little bit hopeless. They were probably a little bit downtrodden. We know that they were angry because they said, Jesus, if you would have come earlier, we know that Lazarus would have been alive to this day still. But what Jesus says is, you know what? The glory of God is going to be seen through this. And the glory of God is going to be seen through this moment and through this pain that you are experiencing. And then it says, many Jews believed in him through that moment. Now, here's the thing. You might be experiencing pain right now. So that those around you who have zero framework for faith might see Jesus in us. All right, when I think about the early church and their strategy for growth was quite a bit different from our church growth strategy today. You see, it's believed that in the first and second century that many Christians would be thrown into the Colosseum and they would be ripped to shreds by lions and gladiators. Roman emperors accused Christians falsely for setting fire to the city of Rome, when in fact it was actually that Roman emperor. And so because they had this public blame and ridicule, they were ostracized and cast out. But yet, despite everything that they experienced, despite the pain, the martyrdom that they went through, in those moments they would sing praises and hymns to God. In fact, Tertullian, one of the early church fathers, said this. He said, the blood of the martyrs is seed for the church. What does he mean by that? What he's saying is that whenever a Christian was killed, their death was fertilizer for the church growth. And as they were being killed, as they were going through so much pain and difficulty, they would sing these praises and sing these hymns, and people in the auditorium in the Colosseum, they would look down and they would say, you know what? How are they doing this? How are they singing? How are they counting it all joy when they're experiencing these various trials? They clearly have something that I don't, and I need that. I want that. It is otherworldly in many respects. And so you might be going through pain because someone in your life, be it a loved one, be it a doctor, whoever it might be, they need to see Jesus through you. And through your pain, you will bless them and touch them when it all seems difficult. Pain may exist for the furthering of God's glory. And now we come to this fourth one, this final one. Pain may exist for our deeper appreciation of our future victory. All right, pain may exist for a deeper appreciation of our future victory. We pick up with the words of the Apostle Paul. He says this in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, therefore, we do not give up. I mean, you can sense this idea of resiliency and perseverance. We do not give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us, and I love this, an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. So we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Okay, Paul is speaking in this passage, and the greater context really refers to the physical pain that he's enduring. He's experienced so much tribulation and so many trials from his desire to spread the gospel. He's gotten lashings on his back. But not only that, he's growing old. His body is dissolving and decaying because of the fallen world, because of the systems of this world that we live in. But he says this, we do not lose hope. Because though our outer person is dissolving and decaying, our inner person is being renewed. Our inner person, this Christ-like character that we have, as virtue is stacked on top of virtue, and we're being forged in the fire of life, we're becoming more like Christ in our life. And so we don't lose hope because what we're going through right now is only temporary. And you know what we're going through right now? It's not even worth comparing. It's not even worth comparing to what is on the other side of eternity. And what is that, Paul? He says it's Revelation 21, when there will be a new heaven and a new earth, where it says that Jesus will dwell with his people. There will be no more death and dying and decay and depression and anxiety and cancer and thoughts of unworthiness, but we will be with God and we will be his people. It's an absolutely unimaginable way of comparing what we're going to experience on that side of eternity. And when we do that, the pain we're going through is only a drop in the bucket. But we go through this pain now so we have a great appreciation for what's going to be on that side of eternity. Back in high school, I had the opportunity to hike through New Mexico. It was a 10-day trek. I've never had the opportunity to do it again, but it was just so incredible. I went with my dad and some of my close high school friends. And as we got through this trek, we were about halfway through, and we decided we were going to take a day trip up one of the tallest mountains on the resort. And so we got up really early that morning, which was hard for me as a high school student, and we put on our day pack, and we began this 6 to 8 hour climb up the mountain. And we were going along, and finally we saw the tree line. We thought, we're there, finally, and we came through the tree line, but we realized, oh, wait, we got another 100 yards to go. But the last 100 yards was literally vertical like this. And so we are bear crawling our way up the final mountain, our final ascent there. And something unique happened in that moment. I realized that I had a fear of heights, okay? So I don't do snakes, spiders, clown movies, and heights, right? That's not my thing at all. But as we're bear crawling up this mountain, our body is aching, our muscles were fatigued, we were short of breath, and we were a little bit impatient with one another because we were just so exhausted. But then it happened. We got to the top of the mountain, and it was simply sublime. We could reach out and touch the clouds, it seemed like. All the other mountaintops were well below us. We were dancing and rejoicing and jumping around and high-fiving and hugging everyone. And here's the thing. The pain that we just experienced for the last 6 to 8 hours was gone. But if we hadn't gone through those 6 to 8 hours, we wouldn't have had a great appreciation for that mountaintop experience. If someone would have just picked us up in a helicopter and dropped us off on top of the mountain, we would have been like, oh yeah, this is cool. No big deal. But no, we love being up on top of that mountain. And that's the same for us today. And so if you're going through pain, know this, your pain is not eternal, it's temporary. But you might be going through pain so that when you stand on that side of eternity, when you stand in the new heavens and the new earth, you can shout from the top of your lungs, pain, you have lost, and now I stand victoriously through Jesus Christ. You see, pain may exist so that we might have a deeper appreciation for our future victory. Well, we've seen these four reasons for why. We see that pain may exist because of the fall, for faith growth, for furthering of God's glory, and for a future victory, for that deep appreciation of it. But now we come to this second point. Okay, God, what do you want me to do with this pain? God, what do you want me to do with the difficulties that I'm going through? And it's this, lean on God and lean on one another. Okay, lean on God and lean on one another. You know, we hear this a lot. Hey, we're called to lean on God. And I had a close friend, a man who I love and respect dearly. And a few years back, he lost a loved one in the blink of an eye, in a split second. And for about a year, he just went through so much emotional distress of losing this loved one. And he was sharing his story with me of all the difficulty. And as he was sharing the story, he reflected on that one statement. You know, he's like, I've heard this a lot, lean on God, but what does that mean? He's a real practical guy. He's like, you know, I can lean on a friend or I can lean on a wall, but what does that mean to lean on God? And he began to shed light on what this meant for him as he journeyed through that year. And he said, you know what? It reminds me of that image. If you're walking along the beach, you're metaphorically shoulder to shoulder with God. And you look behind you and you see two footprints in the sand, your prints and God's prints. But as you keep going along, you might look back and you see, oh wait, there's only one footprint in the sand. And you begin to cry out, God, where were you in that moment? God, I needed you the most in that season. Why would you abandon me? And then he said, God leaned over to him and said, don't you know I was carrying you in that moment? And so he said, that's what happens. He said, I had no business getting out of that year of difficulty without God carrying me. I leaned on God. And as we think about pain, pain really does color every page of Scripture. It's there. I mean, we see it in the fall. We see it in Mary and Martha. We see it in Paul, and our own Lord and Savior Jesus Christ experienced pain. And I remember a friend once told me that God does not promise us the absence of pain, but he does promise us his presence through it. You know, I think a lot of times there's this underlying assumption that whenever we become Christ followers, our life just automatically gets easier. If you were to take a poll, I'm sure that many of you would say, no, that's not the case at all. But I think our life becomes better because we have God's presence, we have the presence of Christ to walk through those times. And so lean on God. What does that practically look like to lean on God, to have his presence in our lives? To me, a lot of times I tell people, pray R-rated prayers. Those real, those raw, emotional prayers. I mean, we see it in Scripture, right? We have a book called Lamentations. We have the book of Job. We have David's Psalms. Bring your cares, bring your concerns to God. God, why is this happening? God, what are you trying to do? God, where are you taking me through all this? God has broad shoulders, and he can handle it. And dare I say, God wants those prayers. So lean on God, but it's also to lean on one another. You know, as we look through the New Testament, there's this one word that's repeated throughout. It's believed to have been repeated about 60 plus times, and it's that phrase, one another. We see that as the church, we are to love one another. We're to encourage one another. We're to build one another up. And so we are to lean on one another. And so what does that look like? Can I give you a little bit of a heads up? Whenever you have that friend, that coworker, whose hair is falling out from the chemotherapy, or perhaps they just lost a loved one, what do you do and what do you say in that moment? Here's my tip. Do not go and say these four reasons why that we just talked about this morning. Do not go and say, you know what? He's in a better place. Or everything happens for a reason. Or I know exactly what you're going through. Because what we're trying to do, like I said before, we're not just intellectual beings. We're beings with emotion as well. And what we're doing is we're dismissing the pain with one quick intellectual response that takes about 5 seconds, when in reality, a person may experience pain for years, if not decades. So if we're not supposed to say those things, if we're not supposed to walk through those sorts of statements, what are we to do then? It's the simple act of bringing your presence, and in so doing, bringing the presence of Christ to their life and to their hurting. I had a mentor back at seminary. He lost his father when he was in his 30s. suddenly. He wasn't expecting it. His father was gone too young. And as a pastor, he had another gal in his congregation who lost her father in her 30s as well, and he had the honor of officiating his funeral. And after the funeral was all said and done, he noticed that she was sitting down on the front row, just in a complete daze of confusion. And he went up and he sat next to her. Now, he didn't say, "Your dad's in a better place," or "This happened for a reason," or "I know exactly what it is that you're going through." Rather, he was simply present with her. And slowly but surely, she leaned over to him and began to weep. And she said, "You know what? I've received so many great calls, so many wonderful text messages and emails, but this is the first time someone has came and sat with me." She could feel his presence and the presence of Christ. And so what do? We lean on God. We go to him. We bring our prayers, and we lean on one another. We bring the presence of Christ in our lives. And so as we wrap it up, as we think about this question, you know, why are you going through pain? Why are you experiencing so much difficulty? Here's my one answer for you. I don't know. Comforting, right? But if I'm honest with myself, and if I was to reflect on the last year of what our family has gone through and why we experience pain, I don't know why we've gone through it either. But we've leaned on God and we've leaned on one another. In fact, earlier this year, my wife, Cassie, went and shared about her painful experience with another group of women. She showed God's glory and God's goodness through it all. I was so proud of her in that moment as she brought the light of Christ into that moment. We've leaned on God and on one another, and just a few weeks ago, August 21st, was the original due date for the baby that we miscarried. And we weren't quite sure what to do. It was, you know, how do we navigate this? But we went out and bought a birthday cake, and we came home and celebrated it. In fact, you can see some pictures up here. This is my boy, Craig. He's not too sad, I don't think, as he's eating that cake there. And then this is my last one, this favorite right there. Dad, get the photo out of my face. But if you could hold it there for a second. You know, to me, I get a little bit of God's presence in this moment. Through chocolate cake smeared smiles, I can feel the presence of God in it. And through it all, I don't know why it's happening. I can say this, the world we live in is not how God had intended it to be. But we're walking, we're putting one foot in front of the other. And so as we wrap up our time here this morning, we really want to create space in which we can do just that, in which we can lean on God and we can lean on one another. What we want to do is something that we've titled the neighbor prayer. We want to pray for our neighbors to our right and to our left, those who are sitting around us. If you're joining us online, you can do this as well. Pray for the houses or the apartments to your right or to your left. We want to pray that God's presence will be in their lives. Now, here's what I'm not asking you to do. I'm not asking you to lean over and say, "What's your name and what pain are you going through right now?" All right, so I put everyone at ease there. Because here's the thing, God knows their names and God knows their pain. And the worship team will come up and close us up in a song here in a little bit. So I'm going to provide some prayer prompts. You can do one of three things. You can repeat the prayer that I say, the little prompt. You can paraphrase it, or you can just pray into the gap, however you feel led by the Holy Spirit. Okay, but know this, that as we're praying for those to our right and to our left, you as well are being prayed for. It's a powerful moment for us as we pray for our neighbors. So would you please join me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we realize that oftentimes our life is characterized by difficulty, by pain, by turmoil, by tribulation and trials. And God, we often don't know why. And sometimes if we did know why, that still wouldn't settle it for us. But Lord, what we do know is that you gave us yourself and you gave us one another. And so now, Lord, we want to pray for our neighbors to our right and to our left. We pray, Lord, we don't know their names. We don't know their pain, but you do. And God, we pray for your presence to manifest itself in their lives. God, we're reminded that this life is not absent. We're not excused from pain. You don't promise us that, but you do promise us your presence. Jesus, your name is Emmanuel, God with us. And so, Lord, we ask that as we walk, sometimes as we even crawl throughout this pain and this difficulty, that you will guide our steps, that you will direct us, that you will give us a newfound sense of hope and joy. Most of all, God, we pray that you will be honored and glorified in our lives. And so may we worship you in this time, no matter where we are coming from. We pray all this in the beautiful name of Jesus, by the power of the Spirit.